Amen. Good morning. All the kids, you guys can go ahead from 11 and down with Miss Leslie to Children's Church. You guys are welcome to go. Malik, if you want to help out those kids back there, make sure they know where they're going. And if they want to go to Children's Church, he'll take them back there. Well, guys, we are glad to have you here today. Let's turn in our Bibles to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. As you're turning there, I want to give you a quick announcement. I know Brother Rob and Brother Rich will share more of this with you as we get closer to it. I'm really excited about this, and I have to tell you, Tawny told me that they're going to do another youth event and youth fundraiser, which we're excited about, but this is exactly what she told me, no kidding. She said to me, she says, hey, Dad, I want you to announce this. I said, all right. She said, this event's for old people. This is what she said. And I'm like, okay, this is no kidding. This is a true story. So I'm like, all right. And I'm like, I'm reading what she's telling me to read. I'm reading what she's wanting me, what she's written and wants me to read to you. And I'm like, what is my thinking? Like, what are you thinking? She goes, you know, people like your age. She says it to me. People like, we're going to do songs that you like. They're going to be Christian, but your generation. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, like you and mom's age. Like we're old. I was like, I pointed to Brother Bob. I was like, that's old. This is, no, I'm just teasing. I was just messing with you. But I'm like, what do you mean? So this is what we're doing. Okay. So we're going to do a fall ball. It's going to be exciting. Everybody gets to come. All adults are welcome to this. I think this could be a fun night. We could make this fun. We could show the kids, the young people. I don't know what we call them. I got some names they probably wouldn't be appropriate to say in church for them little twerps, right? But we're gonna do this night. It's going to be November 18th at 4 o'clock because they don't think we can stay up late. And there's going to be desserts and dancing, and there's going to be all these little memories and all this stuff. It's going to be a formal dance. We're to dress up nice, and the kids are going to serve us. And we're going to be able to just enjoy time. It's going to be $8 per person. So let's go for it. I'm excited about this. I'm going to dress really old. I'm going to find me a baby blue suit or something. And we're going to work here. This is going to be a good one. And I'm going to make sure I smell like cotton balls. Amen. Or mothballs. Praise the Lord. Woo! Man, Tawny wants to play games. We'll play. Let's do it. Let's rev it up for these kids. All right, so anyway, remember that date, November 18th. Psalm chapter 1, to be blessed or not today is the question. To be blessed or not. Psalm chapter 1, and we're going to read the entire chapter, so get ready. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. To be blessed or not is the question. Let's pray together. Father, today again we are so thankful for your Son Jesus. We thank you for the blood. We thank you that, Lord, it is the only way to heaven. And we're grateful there's a way to heaven. That there is eternal life. And there's a way out of hell. And today we're thankful that your Son is the answer. Lord, we thank you for mercy. Lord, we know that you give us more than we deserve. We're grateful for grace because we know it's sufficient. And today we pray that you would move in our hearts, Lord. We need guidance and we need direction. We pray for the salvation of souls. And as we look at this passage, we pray that people would be born again today throughout this world where the word is preached. But we also pray that in this place there'd be salvation. In this place there would be those that would check and see where they're standing. Check and see where they're sitting and where they're walking or where they're, you know, whatever it might be, Lord, that they need to correct. Lord, we pray that you would just give us wisdom as we need answers, as we search for answers in our lives. But Lord, today we love You. We give You glory for what's going to be done and what's already been done. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a 47-year-old man from Austria, and this man had $4.7 million that he had accumulated. He was, you know, a millionaire, obviously, and he had got to this point where he decided that he would give every bit of this money away. And he said this, he said, "I came to the realization that wealth and lavish spending were keeping me from real life and happiness." He said this in a report, in a newspaper. He said, "I had the feeling that I was working as a slave for things that I didn't really even need or wish for." He said it was the biggest shock of my life, but I realized how horrible and how soulless the feeling was to try to live a five-star lifestyle. He said, "Yet we live in a world and in a country where people strive to have millions, and they think if they just had millions, they would be happy." He said his money now funds several charities that have been set up to help people in Latin America. He lives a very lowly life. You know, and I think about this and I'm like, you know, many people think that if they just had more money, they'd be happy. But then you read stories, right, about sometimes what money has done to people, how many times money has made people err from the faith because they don't feel like there's a need for God once they have it. But I'm not preaching about money. What about this? It seems like everyone is looking for happiness. Everybody here wants to be happy. And some people here, they think, well, if I could just get this, it would make me happy. Some young people go, well, my goal is to be a millionaire. My goal is I want to get a college scholarship. I want to get in to play football somewhere or wrestle or be a cheerleader or play softball. If I could just do that, it would make me happy. If I can just finish high school, it'll make me happy. If I could just get the right job, it would make me happy. So many people move from job to job. I mean, because this job might pay more or it's more secure, but is there any price to pay for happiness? Because by all rights, I mean, we could all probably do something to make more money, but would we be happy? Would it be effective for the kingdom of God? Would it change lives? I mean, some in this room, they think just a job would make them happy. Some think that if they had the right person in their life, it would make them happy. Man, if I could find that right man, if I could get the right guy in my life, I mean, that would make me happy. If I could get the right woman in my life, that's all it would take to make me happy. Until you live with her for a year. Until you really get to know them, amen. I mean, right? I mean, but the truth is, we have people, right, that their strive, their goal, their pursuit right now is relationship. Our young people bounce from person to person. I mean, they're in love. And if I could just find, you know, when that doesn't work, if I could just find the next person, that would make me happy. And then we have people that they're so desperate to find happiness, they look for it in a bottle. See, it could be an alcohol bottle. That they have to have that drink in order to cover up all the pain that's really there, that it'll still be there when they're done with their drunk or their high. But if they can just have that bottle, they'll be happy. Just one more injection of the drug. Just one more shot. Just one more time of smoking that. Just one more pill to pop, and I'd be happy. And they do everything in their life. Their goals, desires to be happy, and they're looking for it in a bottle or a drug. And many people just go, well, if I just had a bigger house, I'd be happy. I mean, I only got 1,500 square foot. If it was 2,500 or 3,000, I mean, then I'd be happy if I could just get a bigger house or if I could just get the newer car. And what I'm getting at is that we live in a society and even within the church today that we're attempting to fill voids in our lives with things that don't matter, with stuff. And the truth be told, that for a while it may seem that they found what they were looking for, but when the new wears off, their search continues. And I want to tell you, I kind of come bearing some really good news this morning is this, is that you can find happiness. And the truth be told, not only can you find happiness, you can find something better than happiness. The truth is, this verse says you can be blessed. The first verse of our passage says, blessed is the man. I mean, we can be blessed. That word blessed, it's often translated happy, but it really, in the Hebrew, it means this. It means supremely happy. It means you can have all that you need in Jesus Christ. You can be supremely happy. You can have a blessing. That means an inner satisfaction that does not depend on outward circumstance or happy. I want to repeat that definition. Listen to me. He says you can have a blessing. You can be blessed. In other words, you can have an inner satisfaction. Something inside of you that is satisfied that does not depend on outward circumstances. In other words, I don't have to be rich to be blessed. I don't have to have all this stuff to be blessed. I don't even have to have an easy life to be blessed. I'm blessed because of who I know. When we walk with God, we can find joy unspeakable, the Bible says, and full of glory. And in this first psalm, God tells us how that we can be blessed. And I want to walk through the passage, how to be blessed. I don't know about you, but I think about this. I've been reading the book of Psalm, and the Lord kind of brought me back to this. Even though I'm on like chapter 19 right now, He's been taking me back to this passage and week after week. And I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, I'll be honest with you. I want to be blessed. I want a blessed life. I want to live a blessed life. And fortunately, God's Word tells us that it's possible, but I want you to catch this. It's your choice. Let's go back and look at this, number one, in verse 1. In order to be blessed, we must be in the right places. In order to be blessed, we must be in the right places. Hear me out on this real quick. This is easy and cheap. You ready? If you're in the wrong place, don't expect blessing. Right? Look at verse 1. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So in this verse, we are told how to walk, where to stand, and where to sit. And there's also contrast provided in this psalm. We're given some insight into the danger of, you know, facing or hanging with ungodly people. And in order to experience the blessings of God, there are some people and places you must avoid. Now, this is going to offend some people. But I want to say something to you, and I want you to hear me clearly, and I'm going to say it with true boldness, and I don't really care if it offends you or you like it or not. Listen to me carefully. If you are a believer, there are absolutely people that you shouldn't be with. And if you have sold yourself on this idea that you can be a Christian and just go wherever you choose and be with whoever you want to be with, you've got another thing coming, and be prepared for the blessings to dissipate. And why it is that we have to repeat this to our kids, and why it is that we have to repeat this in the church over and over, that this, just because you are saved does not give you the freedom to be with anyone and everyone. And the Bible says it. In order to really experience the blessings of God, there are some people and some places that you have to avoid. Don't be shocked when you're not blessed if you put yourself around the wrong people. The old preacher at Fairhaven, right, that mentored me, he used to say this. He goes, if you lay down with dogs, you get up with fleas. Don't put yourself around the wrong people and expect showers of blessings. Don't put yourself in a relationship because you just want to have sex. Don't put yourself in some relationship because you just want somebody to love you. Don't fall for the first thing that walks your way just because if it's the wrong person, get ready to be robbed of the blessings. We have to walk. We must walk in the right places. Go back to verse 1. Let me show you something here. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So let's sit on that for a second. We got to walk in the right places. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So in order to walk in the right places, we have to avoid counsel or advice or even to an extent certain relationships with the ungodly. Now, let me do this before anybody gets offended. I'm not telling you to witness to people. I'm not telling you not to love the lost, but you can love the lost without being their girlfriend. You can love the lost without being their boyfriend. You can love their lost without trying to get that marriage going with them. And by God, if one of you kids come to me again and say, well, they're not saved, but I'm trying to get them saved. No, no, no. If the man you like or the woman you like won't walk in godliness, they're off your list for marriage. Because you're welcoming unfavorable circumstances into your life if you're with somebody who won't walk it out. Think about who you're going to expose to your family and your children and your children's children if you take that person in. Because I know something else about the Scripture, that we can pass on blessing and cursing to our family. I know that my blessing travels further than just me. And I know that when I'm being having unfavorable circumstances, I'm also bringing that into my home. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So again, in order to walk in the right places, we must avoid the advice of the ungodly. There may be people that you love and have trusted for years who would give you advice. And let me say this to you. Though their intentions may be good, their advice may be contrary to the will of God. You know, I think about this as a parent. Can I speak on parents' behalf for a second? We always advise our kids. Good thing. Our kids come and say, go, what do you think about this situation? I hope our kids do that. Sometimes when they don't want to know the truth, they don't ask that, do they? What do you think about this situation? What do you think? They don't ask you. They don't want. But they'll come to you about something they want to know. They'll go, what kind of college you think I should go? Do you think I should still play football? If I do, what position? What should I do? Right? They come to us for different things. They go, what do you do? And here's what we do as parents. We advise. And nothing wrong with that. But then here's what happens, right? You send them to a Christian school, and their pastor is in here, right? And he's in the office. This guy, wow, knucklehead. And they come in, she's going to get saved at the end of service. It's okay, all right. But you send her to the pastor, and here you send her to the pastor, and the pastor says, well, they go, what do you think about this? And then I do this, and I break everybody's heart. I go, well, college isn't for everybody. And the parent was hoping that when they came to me, that I'd go, you need to go exactly where your parents told you. So even as parents, what I'm saying is we've got to be careful, and here's why. Listen, I'm telling you, speaking for myself here, not even for you, is this. If we don't give our kids godly advice, we're leading them outside of the will of God. So it's not just about telling our kids what sounds right. It's not about telling them, because you see this, there's so much confusion when kids are about to graduate and we're sending these messages because they have all the opinions of their 15-year-old friends. They've got the opinion of mom, the opinion of dad, the opinion of the people in their school, the opinion of teachers, the opinion of uncles and cousins, because everybody knows what they should be doing. And what we need to be doing is advising them this: pray. Seek God with all your heart, because here's the truth of it. I don't know the will of God for every person. It's just that simple example, but I want you to catch this today. Every one of us in this room, we want blessing. We want to be blessed. We want to be blessed beyond measure. But the truth be told, that in decision-making situations, the Bible is of most importance. Well, why do I say that? Because the Bible is the authority. And if the people that give you advice don't have that same perspective, you can't possibly get biblical advice from them. And this is what the first thing the Scripture says. He goes, do you want to be blessed? Do you want the favor of God? Do you want to be supremely happy? Then you better not put yourself in a situation with ungodly people. Why? Because ungodly people will give you ungodly advice. Well, I don't know what this means. I mean, I want to be blessed, but I don't really get it. Well, I mean, how often have we told our kids to pursue something that was all about the money? Everybody wants their kid to be a lawyer, a doctor, an NFL player. It ain't happening. We sometimes set our kid. Why? Because we want better for them. You know, I find it interesting, right? I mean, we want that. We want the best for our kids. But what if God's will is Africa for your son or daughter? What if God's will for your life is Guatemala? What if God's will for you is Zephyr Hills? What if God's will for you is single? What if God's will for you is to be alone because that's best for you right now? What if that's God's will, but you got somebody barking in your ear stuff that they can't cover in Scripture? Good people, good intentions. Don't misunderstand me. Good people, good intentions, but can't give you Scripture. And I think more than we would like to think, we're probably given ungodly advice, and we give ungodly advice. And he said, in order to be blessed, you cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You cannot put yourself in a place where you're making decisions from people who don't have a biblical perspective. And a matter of fact, you better have a biblical perspective, because I guarantee you, every one of us, I know you very well in this church, you're opinionated people. No amen, Roxanne? What? And when you're opinionated, and when you have advice for everybody, it better be biblical advice. Friends that are good friends give the Word of God, not their opinion. So I'm just saying, don't look for people in the world. Look to God. Look to a person with a biblical standard, not a worldly view. But, you know, this is also talking about association, counsel, putting yourself in a circumstance with the wrong people. You watch our kids, guys. This is scary. I'm not going to try to beat up the kids or preach about the kids, but you watch our kids. Let them get one wrong influence in their lives and they'll change their whole person. I used to hang out with this one kid in particular, and I promise you this, I never thought I was a different person. I would come home and my mom would say this every single time. It would just take a few minutes and she'd go, every time you're with him, this is how you act. You act different when you're associated with those people. We got grown adults the same way. They get around that person, every time they're with them, they're drinking. Every time they're with them, they're smoking. Every time they're with them, they use this language. Every time they're with them, things change when they're around them. Why? Because it's ungodly. And he says, if you want to be blessed, you can't surround yourself with that. I want to drive this home through some of you kids' heads, some of you adults' heads. If you expose yourself to garbage, you're going to get garbage. I tell our youth this all the time in chapel. I go, you don't put corn in the ground and get watermelon out. You will reap what you sow. Who you associate with matters. And he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor, look at this part here, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. We must stand in the right places. You know, I'm kind of paraphrasing or using another word for this, but this is what he's saying. Oh, the joys of those who do not stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. Hear me out on this, okay? Because I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. In order for me to be blessed, I need to take counsel from the right people. I don't need to go to the person that's going to tell me what I want to hear. I need somebody who's going to speak the truth to me, right? And that's a tough thing. I don't want to go back to that point, but I want to for a second. It's really easy to know the people that'll tell you. They'll just be yes men. You can go to them and they're going to say what you're doing is okay. But if you want the truth, you got to find that person that you love and respect enough that'll be brutally honest with you. And that's hard, right? I mean, I don't want to leave this place, right? And I say to my wife, was that a good sermon? She's never told me different. But I don't think she lies to me either, because I can tell by how she says it if she thought the Spirit was present or not. But I don't want to, I don't always like what Rich says to me, or I may not always like what Rob says to me, or I may not always like what Wayne Gabriel said to me, but I believe this, that they have my best interests at hand. I believe that they're seeing something from a different perspective. I don't like it, and I might argue with them. We may call each other names. We might be bitter for a couple minutes, but I believe this in my heart. They'll tell me the truth about me. And we all need that. So that's a free part one, part two now. Got to stand in the right places. Don't stand around with sinners. Don't join in with mockers. There are some people who profess to be saved, but they still go where they used to go. Well, I'm saved. I got fire insurance. Bless me. Bless me. Make me happy. Make me happy. You're going to the same places you used to go. And let me ask you this. If the bar didn't bring you joy back then, what makes you think as a saved person covered in the blood it's going to bring you joy now? And now you might go, well, but the bar did bring me joy. Yeah, until you got caught. Until you got the ticket. Until you got put in jail. Until it ruined your marriage. Until it destroyed your life. Until it caused accusations in your life. It was real fun for a minute. But why is it that we as believers, we say we're transformed, we're changed, but we're still going to the same places? Why is it that we proclaim that we've been born again, but we still do what we used to do? Why is it that we expect blessing, but we go the same places, we do the same stuff? There are countless people who claim that they've been transformed by the power of God, but they have no desire to be in God's house. Take this or leave it. Take this or leave it. If it is a burden for you to be in church faithfully, your problem is not with the church, because there's thousands of them in this city. The problem is with your God. I love you. And I want to be blessed of God. But Sunday school, how do I get up at 8 o'clock in the morning? Wednesday night, they're so difficult to make it. I'm tired. You got a problem with your love for God. But you always make it to the ball game on time. Huh? You're early there. But you always make it on time to turn the TV on to watch what you were interested in. You got to Busch Gardens early. You made it to the bar on time. You made it to the funeral on time. You made it to the wedding on time. You weren't too lazy at 6 to get up to go fishing. Because if it mattered, you'd be there. But favor me, bless me, but I want to be in the wrong place with the wrong people. Oh, I love this one. I'm not opposed to the church, and it's just some of the people there. It's funny, but it's not. Let me tell you why. Because 1 John 3:14 says this. Do you know how you know you've passed from death to life, spiritually speaking? He's talking about eternal life. He goes, when you love the brethren. There's a spiritual problem. There's a problem with the counsel I've been getting. There's a problem with me spiritually speaking. There's a problem with the blessing of God. Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked when you don't have the favor of God, when you can't stand fellowshipping with other believers. Well, why? Well, because you'd rather fellowship with the lost world than you would the saved people, because you disagree with the ones. Let me say, the real problem wasn't this. The real problem wasn't the church or a couple in the church or a couple people in the church. The problem was this. You're not in love with God the way you claim, nor does He matter to you like you claim. When we fail to praise God or His holy name, we don't serve Him faithfully, we never study His Word, we neglect to call on His name, even worse, we run around with the people of this world and do the things that are contrary to the will of God. Let me tell you something. Not only are you walking in the wrong places, you're standing in the wrong places. My dad used to say this little comment. It's stupid, and I never thought I'd use his quotes, but I do all the time. And he'd say this, Mike, he goes, I don't smoke, drink, or curse, or hang out with women that do. And I'm like, well, you're married. I'm glad you're not hanging out with any other woman. Good job. What did my dad mean is this. Don't put yourself around people. Number one, don't do it, Mike. Number two, don't be around it, because it won't be long you'll be doing it. Win them. Witness to them, love them, pray for them, but we ain't hanging out all the time if you ain't going to live it. Difference between association, witnessing, and friendship. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, the verse we don't care for, wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You want the blessing of God, you can't just go with anybody you want to go with and hang out with anybody you want to hang out with. We're not to isolate ourselves again from the lost people. In fact, we're to reach out to them. We should witness to them. But at the same time, we are called to live a holy and separate life. And we must walk in the right places, avoid the wrong ones. We must stand in the right places and avoid the wrong ones. And the psalmist warns us of something else. Look at this in verse 1. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Here's the part. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We must sit in the right places. Something that's cool that, again, I love the Bible because every time you read it, you get something new. I never caught this as simple as it is. Some of you are probably far beyond me knowing Scripture. But catch this in verse 1. He first talks about the guy walking. Then he talks about the guy standing. Then he talks about the guy sitting. And I think about this and I go, can you see the downward progression? He's 1 minute walking with them. The next minute he's standing with them. You know what he's done? He's gotten to a place where he's hearing what they're saying. You catching this? This is the good stuff right here. He's walking. And he could walk right by if he chose to, but he chooses to stand and listen. Before long, he's got so comfortable, he's sitting. Some of us are sitting. You ain't walking by those kids anymore. You're not walking by them garbage relationships anymore. You're not doing it. You're standing and listening. You're listening. Let the devil whisper. And then before long, you're sitting. You've gotten so comfortable in your sin, you're sitting in it. You know, he's talking about this, though. He says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's the part we're at. A scorner is someone who, in all rights, has done away with religion or relationship with Jesus Christ. They don't feel a moral obligation to God. He's just set down. He's just done. He's given up. He makes a mock at sin. And let me say this to you. If you sit long enough, you'll go back into sin all day long. If you get comfortable with the wrong people, the wrong places, you'll sit there. And so let me say this to you. You can show up every Sunday and still sit in the way of sinners. Sit with in the seat of the scornful. Because somewhere within you, you've found you've done your religious obligation by showing up one service a week, and you've done that, and you get a devotion on your Bible on your phone Bible from time to time, and you've done enough to get by, you think, but you're still sitting in the sea of the storm. Let me say this to you. If this is all you do with your relationship with Jesus Christ, your relationship is pitiful. If this is all He gets right here, it's pitiful. God said, blessed is he who doesn't sit down in that seat. You want to live a blessed life, watch where you walk, watch where you stand, and watch where you sit. Don't get too comfortable. We can enjoy the blessings of God when you're in the right places. Moving on to verse 2. That was point one. Amen. This is going to be a good day. I'm excited. In order to be blessed, we must focus on the right things. Go to verse 2. But His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth His fruit in His season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever He doeth shall prosper. Supremely happy is the man who doesn't walk or talk or make counsel with people who are ungodly. Blessed is the man, supremely happy is the one that don't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't go to the wrong places with the wrong people. Blessed is the man that doesn't get too comfortable with those that are living like that. He says, but, key word, right? It takes away the power of everything you just said, but His delight is in the law of the Lord. In order to be blessed, you have to focus on the right things. This is perspective. You know, this is today's perspective. I really think this. It's like this. Man, if I would just get that car, I really need a car. And if someone got me a car, if I was able to buy a car, or I got this car, what a blessing it would be. It would be a blessing. It is a blessing when somebody blesses you. It is a blessing when someone drops $1,000 on you. Amen. How many of you say it's a blessing when someone drops $1 on me? Amen. I just get a Coke out of a Coke machine. Praise God. Like, it's a blessing when someone blesses you. But listen to me, perspective. Here's the church's thinking sometimes. I got a new car. I'm blessed. I got a new job. I'm blessed. I got some more money. I'm blessed. My insurance actually worked this time. I'm blessed. Me and my spouse are getting along. I'm blessed today. Cars get old. They scratch. You got to pay a payment eventually. You got to put gas in them. You got to buy insurance. Then they're not such a blessing. Give the car 3 months and he's not so cool. I found this guy. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. It's perspective. The psalmist declares that the blessed man, look what it says, the blessed man will shun wickedness and cling to the Word of God. His delight is in the law of the Lord. It's perspective. Let me ask you something. Don't you fall asleep. Don't get tired. Pay attention. Listen to me carefully. Do you delight in the law of the Lord? What he's getting to is this. I get that we live in a world that need people to make themselves to make them happy. They need all this stuff to make them happy. He's saying, but the Word of God should be enough. There are poor people that are happy. Come with us this summer to Guatemala. Go with us to Mexico. I will promise you something. You're going to meet people that have one meal a day if you're lucky, and it's a minimal amount. It's more than we eat for us. It's less than we eat for a snack. Let me tell you something. They're the happiest people you'll ever meet. Because it's not based on stuff. Their eyes are focused on the perspective. That's the things of God. The Bible has to be a place of prominence in our lives. I feel like I've been preaching this a lot. We have to focus on Scriptures. Verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Is that you? Does that describe you, that you are meditating? That you are... Meditation is more than just reading. It's a study of the Word of God. But he says his delight is in it. In other words, it's not a burden for him to read the Bible. He loves it. He cannot get enough of it. He is craving it. He hungers and thirsts for it. He gets up and goes, man, I love the Word. I can't wait to get in the Word. I delight in it. Delight is excitement and joy and fun and a blessing. Delighting in something like, I delight in strawberry shortcake. I don't delight in liver. But I delight in a pecan pie. Man, I'm getting hungry. I delight in man, there's certain things I delight in spaghetti. What the, like, I can't wait when I smell her cooking it. I'm ready to eat it. I delight. I can't wait. I want it so bad. Does that really describe you with the Word of God? See, the man described in that verse is the one who genuinely is in love with the Word of God. You can't do that part-time and tell us you love. You can't go, well, I read periodically and speak of your delight for God's Word. If I delight in the Word of God, I read it once this week. How many times you eat? How many times you text that girlfriend, that boyfriend? How many times you you know, come on, get real. What's your delight really in? Hey, but listen to you. I don't want you to miss the point, but I want to be blessed. And the truth be told, the majority of the church today wants to live like the world and still be blessed. And when they're not, they have the audacity to point to God and go, I can't believe you haven't done more for me. The Bible, it isn't a book of fables, myths, legend. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of truth. It is in the Scriptures that we find what's necessary to grow and prosper for Jesus. Verse 3 tells us that. But I'm going to ask you again, are you in love with it? Or just feel a duty to pick it up from time to time? Do you crave it? Do you hunger and thirst for it? Blessed, again, isn't being rich. Blessed is the perspective. Blessed is being rich in Jesus. But we will prosper through the Scriptures. The Word of God will provide some things. I'm going to move quickly. I know you're tired and we'll get you out of here. But pay attention to this. I don't want to cut anything short, though, at the same time. Look at verse 3. Why the Scriptures are so imperative to blessing is because the Scriptures provide strength. Look at verse 3. It says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Stop right there for a minute. A tree planted by the rivers of water, it's always green and healthy. Why? Because it's close to the life-giving resource of water. Trees that are planted by the water are the strongest of trees because we are put down, where they're put down, the roots, you know, they're roots there. Well, he says, well, when you're in the Scripture, when you're in the Word of God daily, you're putting down roots. That's where your strength comes from. That's where you're gaining your life-giving water, your resource. The more we read, the more we study, the more we meditate on the Word of God, the stronger we will grow. Another thing is the Scripture provides stability. Look at verse 3 again. Go a little bit further. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Here's the part. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Here's the part. You ready? His leaf also shall not wither. Scriptures provide stability. Have you ever been in a spot where you're broken and hurt and all you can do is quote the Word of God? You're like, God's Word said it, and you're leaning on it. It's stability. The Christian who lives close to God will never be dry and wilted. He won't wither. He will be vibrant, lively, and productive. This life brings droughts. Get ready. There's going to be droughts in life. But a drought doesn't affect a tree planted by the river. The droughts of life will not destroy you if you remain close to the life-giving resource of Christ. Verse 3 also shows us that the Scriptures will bring success. Young people, listen to me, please. Listen to me. Listen to me. Wake up. You all want to be successful. You all want to be prosperous. And God wants that for you. Every adult in this room, God wants us to be successful. And He wants us to be prosperous. And He says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither. He says, but here it is. He will bring forth fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Do you understand that promise today? There is nothing that I can touch when I'm in the will of God that isn't successful. Let me tell you again, you ready for this? The problem is we define prosperity equals money. We define prosperity equals insurance and wealth and big cars and beautiful rims and great relationships. And prosperity that you think and prosperity that he thinks are two different things. Because let me say this to you. You can be dirt poor with nothing and alone and be a greater citizen for the things of the kingdom of God than somebody who has it all. But what a promise. Notice the phrase brings forth fruit. The believer who draws from the Scriptures will be fruitful. This nourishment of the Word of God will make a Christian very strong in the Spirit. This will help the child of God to bear fruit. Jesus tells us in John chapter 15, verse 8, the Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. But then in John 15, 5, he tells us how we accomplish this. How do I accomplish prosperity and success in a biblical way? John 15, 5, I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. How do I accomplish this success or prosperity? I stay close to the King. we're planted in Christ. He's our source of life. And like that tree planted by the river, we got to draw from Him. And one major way we do this is through the Scriptures. When we spend time in the Word, we're headed on the path that leads to blessing. In order to be blessed, we have to be in the right places. In order to be blessed, we have to focus on the right things. And this will be third and last. In order to be blessed, we must trust in the right person. Go to verse 6. Verses 4 and 5, you can study at some point on your own, but there's some consequences for living the ungodly life. But verse 6 says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You live like hell, get ready for death. You live like hell, get ready to be cut off. You can call yourself a Christian all you want. If you live an ungodly life, get prepared. Okay? But here's the part I want you to catch. He says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous." In order to be blessed, we have to trust in the right person. This verse literally means the Lord watches over the path of the righteous ones. We put way too much trust in people. And I don't mean that you shouldn't trust people. I say this very regularly to my staff. I trust every person on my staff, but not with all things. Not a criticism. It means this. I believe with all my heart that Dale would never hurt my children, my grandchildren. I don't believe Rich or Amber or none of them. I trust them explicitly that. But I'm going to tell you something. I ain't going to run and tell everybody on my staff everything about me because some of them would tell somebody. I love them, but they talk. Just vice versa. They may say, "Well, I trust the pastor with this. I trust him with preaching the Scripture. But I ain't trusting him with that because he may say it from the pulpit." You know what I mean? It's not a criticism. It's just this. But the problem today is we put all of our weight on people. Well, if the boss man comes through and I can just make... Your destiny and your prosperity and your success is not determined by your job or career. We're almost terrified to tell people what we do today. What do? We come up with some creative name. Dale, what do you do at the school?
Well, I'm a maintenance engineering departmental.
Huh? What's that? I sweep the floors and scrub the toilets. Why? Because somebody might go, "All you do is scrub toilets? You just clean up vomit behind the kids? You literally just clean up that. I mean, I just don't, like, oof, you're not successful. What do? It's this thing where, like, there's these little things, they're called babies, and I changed their dang diapers. How often do you put it? Like, you're not successful. That's it? Do you have a degree? What's your degree? What's your education? Where'd you go to college? As if that makes or breaks you. Listen to me, please. Young people, can I say something to you all seriously and all seriously? Listen. Success isn't a piece of paper. I'm not saying it's wrong. Success isn't making the NFL. Because if you go to the NFL or you make it big on Broadway or whatever you do, if you don't do it being a Christian first, you're not successful. It's all about the King. And if your heart is right when you scrub a toilet or you change a baby's diaper, you are as prosperous as anyone in this world. If you are doing what God has asked you to do today, if you're acting out and living out His will today for your life, you are successful. Don't be ashamed of who you are. Everybody tries to go at my daughter, like, because she's the pastor's kid, she should have a doctor's degree and all this stuff. And they're like, "Well, what do? And I can see the hesitation, but it's like, let me tell you something. She's phenomenal with kids, and by God, she's successful. And I could care less if she ever gets a piece of paper. And the truth be told, she probably never will get a piece of paper. And she's still done more for the kingdom of God at 22 than most people that are 70. Because it takes something amazing to listen to that. It takes something amazing to mother a child. It takes something amazing to be that. We gotta quit putting so much weight on people and trusting in what people have to say about us. Your success is not based on your job. When you die, it really is a little rep. Well, if he was a mechanic, who cares? What matters is are you in eternal life now that you're buried? What did you do for Jesus? I want the favor of God. I want the blessing of God. But I put more effort in prosperity in the world than I do in the eternal prosperity. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this earth. Change someone for the kingdom of God, because that's what matters in the end. I'm going to share with you a few verses and I will quit, I promise. Psalm 101:6 says, "My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way," that does not mean perfection, "he shall serve me." But I love that. In order to be blessed, we've got to trust the right people. His eyes are over the righteous. He says, look, when you walk this life out, I'm with you. I'm protecting you. I am shielding you. I am guarding you. Again, this doesn't mean that we're not going to encounter difficulty on the path, but we can have confidence that we will never face trouble alone. The psalm tells us that we can confidently look to God to protect us. Psalm 3:3, "But thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head." There's times I can't lift my head up on my own. And He says, I'm the one. Just keep looking at me. Just keep coming to me. Just keep searching the Scriptures. Keep digging in. I'm the one that shields you. I'm the one that looks over the righteous. It's not the government. It ain't Obama. It ain't Trump. It ain't Clinton. It ain't, Nixon. It ain't him. It is not going to be the insurance boy that looks over me. It's going to be Jesus Christ that's my shield. It ain't going to be my boss at work. It's not going to be the car dealership. It's not going to be a bottle that's there looking over me when I'm done. It's going to be the things. It's going to be the things of Christ. It's going to be Jesus. Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him. I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song will I praise Him." Go ahead and read that psalm. He's going through dire times, and he's going, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will praise Him. I will lift my voice up to Him." Why? Because the perspective, how he's seen things, wasn't through his own eyes. Psalm 91, "He shall cover thee with the feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Verse 6 says, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous." This speaks to the personal intimacy and involvement that God has with His children. It blows my mind, right? He knows our name. He knows the number of hairs on our head. Oh boy. Not hard up here. Not hard to count those ones, Lord. I gave you an easy one. Brother Ron did even better. The Lord's like, "Zero." Yeah, good job, Lord. It's good, isn't it, brother? You still love me? You're going to get Dion on me? Is that what you're saying? I got it. I know who the boss is, man. But listen, can I say this to you and we're closed? Miss Susan's going to come to the piano. Listen to me. Do you know today that the Lord knows what tomorrow holds for you? Do you know that He knows everything you face or are going to face or are facing? Do you know that He cares and He wants what's best for you? So instead of looking to people or things or this world, if we want to be blessed, supremely happy, we must look to the right person. We must put our faith and hope and trust in the Lord. And many blessings are available to those who belong to the Lord. But in order to experience those blessings, we got to be in the right places. We got to focus on the right things. And we got to trust in the right person, Jesus. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, I want to invite you to know Him on a personal level. But I want to do this at this altar call. Because if you're here and maybe you know you've been walking, you've been standing, or you've been sitting in the wrong places, would you confess that before the Lord today? Say, "Lord, I know I'm not walking in the right ways. Lord, I know that I've gotten to a point where I'm kind of listening in. I'm in a bad spot." Or, you know, "I'm in a really bad spot. I'm sitting there. I'm just taking this sin in. And I'm not giving God the effort that He deserves." Maybe that's you today. You're here today and you're broken. Maybe you're at a spot where you've got big decisions to make and you have no clue, no idea. You need to go to the King today. You need to ask and seek His counsel today. If that's you, I just want to open up the altar for you. Whatever the need may be, however God spoke to your heart today, let's open up the altar. Let's pray, and this altar will be open. Father, today we give you all glory and praise. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. I pray that you would move on the hearts of your people. Lord, maybe those that are just sitting or standing or walking in the wrong counsel or with the wrong people, God, that you would move on their hearts today. Lord, let us be all about you and more about you, and that it wouldn't be about these earthly relationships. Not that they're not important, not that they don't matter, not that they're even wrong, but nothing can take and trump you. Nothing can be more than what you mean to us. So, Lord, let us be in love with you like we claim we are. Let us be in the Scripture so that we can have guidance and direction and godly advice. Lord, we pray for those that might be lost today, that you would just move on their hearts, that you would convict them of their need of a Savior. For those that are here in brokenness, I know there's so many people hurting. God, you are their shield, their buckler. You are the one to protect them. So I pray over all that are broken today, all that are hurt today, that they could just lay it out today at the altar, that they would not sit there and be afraid to come forward. Give them courage. Just come lay things at your feet. We love you and give you glory for it. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.